This next part of the program, we're just working too hard, our guest believes. We check our cell phones 50 times a day. 27% of Americans work between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. 29% work on weekends. We leave vacation days unused. The typical American work week is 47 hours, and 18% of Americans, according to Gallup, work over 60 hours a week. Well, we can be experiencing burnout. And our guest has written a piece, The United States of Burnout. Current work practices are unproductive, unhealthy, and unsustainable, and this needs to change. Brad Stulberg writes about health and the science of human performance. He's a columnist at New York Magazine and Outside Magazine and has written for the LA Times, Runner's World, Forbes, NPR, the Harvard Public Health Review, and is co-author of the forthcoming book, Peak Performance, Take Advantage of the New Science of Success. Brad, hello. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
I had no idea we worked that hard. Our average work week is 47 hours now? Is that because of it's amazing. Is it technology?
You know, I think it is. I think that it's technology in two ways. The first way, which is the one that at least for me comes to mind right off the bat, is just the technologies that keep us connected to work all the time. So having email on one's phone, having the internet pretty much everywhere, it's that compulsion to constantly be online. The second force that is maybe not as commonly thought about is the technology that's replacing human jobs. So as we increasingly start to work with and in some domains compete against machines, machines, as long as there's a power source, they're always on. They never tire. So I think that we're being kind of pushed at this 24/7 work from two ends. And one is that we're competing against and working with these machines that are always on. And the second is we ourselves are using machines that allow us to always be connected.
Hmm. Do we think we're going to get fired if we don't work all the time, if we're not checking those devices all the time?
You know, it's a good question. In my reporting for this piece, what I learned is that it's not so much a fear of being fired. It's just a compulsion to constantly be online and to be productive and to produce.
And to produce, not only are we working hour after hour, so many of us on weekends and after 10 p.m., but we're also not taking vacations, so we leave this time unused when we need it to rejuvenate.
Yeah, exactly. I think that is one of the core elements that's leading to this high rate of burnout in the country. Yes, it's the amount of work that we do, but it's also just neglecting breaks on both a micro scale. So like you mentioned, checking out for the evening, and then on a more macro scale as well. So taking extended breaks to rejuvenate and recover.
Even taking time to have a little bit of lunch. Many of us work through lunch.
Yep, that is true.
So what is the result of all of this? When you talk about this burnout, how does burnout manifest itself?
Yeah, so there are two components that I think are worth discussing. The first are the physiological and physical effects, and then the second are the psychological and more emotional effects. So in the physical bucket, I think that the number one issue that tends to creep up on people is insomnia and a lack of sleep. And that can be a lack of sleep because we are actually working when we should be sleeping, or because we've been using our devices late into the evening. And I mean, as anyone that's worked on a deadline document or something rather intense late into the night knows, it's very, very hard to quickly shut off and wind down. All this is only exacerbated because the screens that we tend to stare into to complete our work emit blue light, which basically tells your brain not to produce melatonin, which is the hormone that makes you sleepy. So it's the perfect storm of getting worked up about something to do with work, having your melatonin shut off, and then trying to fall asleep. Lack of sleep compounds very quickly and can lead to all other sorts of issues. So the chronic fatigue that comes with lack of sleep, issues with metabolism and energy, high blood pressure, and there's even some research that links burnout to obesity, and I guess that has to do with probably the metabolic issues that happen when sleep cycles are thrown off.
And you cite at least one person in your article who was in a pretty high-level job, who found that it was all so much that she simply had to take a leave of absence to recuperate.
Yes. I believe she took 6 months off to recuperate. It's really a serious thing, and I think that we have to be careful about people throwing around the term too loosely and saying, oh, I'm burnt out, because you can have a symptom of burnout, but to really be burnt out, so to have the chronic fatigue, and then I was going to get into some of the psychological things, so like apathy and lack of motivation and even transient depression, you're really buried in a hole. It's something that has happened more frequently in athletics. And in the sporting world, the term is overtraining syndrome. Mm-hmm. And when someone pushes beyond that line of what their body is capable, it often takes 3 to 6 months to climb back out. And I think more and more people in a traditional corporate workplace are starting to experience something similar.
And you cite how many athletes feel that they've been in overtraining. It's a huge number.
Yeah, something like 60% have felt that they've overtrained at one point of their career.
Ooh. The other thing that may happen, and we all know people like this, is if you reach the stage of being burned out and physically feeling symptoms of working too much, you can just reach the point where, on a mild level, oh, I got to get out of bed, I got to go to work, I don't want to go to work. But then you might have to say, oh, I just can't get out of work, I'm depressed. You call in sick, or you come to work and you just don't do very much work. You just walk through the motions of what a job is because you don't have any drive to do your job.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, you know, what tends to happen is that people try to go 100% of the time and they end up bringing 50% of their best self 100% of the time, when in fact it's much better to bring your 100% best self 70% of the time and take the breaks that are necessary to recharge and rejuvenate.
Let's go to some audience questioning and comments on this. Our number is 800-486-8655. Chris sends this message on Facebook. I was thinking that we would have looked at the 40-hour work week during the Great Recession. We've used the 40-hour week since the 1900s. Maybe we need a new model. What do you think?
Oh, it's a great question. So if I had my druthers, based on the research that I've done on this topic, I would go to a 4-day work week and probably make Wednesday an additional day off. And I think that so long as that coincided with a real focus on being efficient when one is at work, my guess is that we would lose nothing in production, but would gain a lot in people's motivation and both, I guess, that is psychological health, but also physical health.
And it might help employ people who have not been able to get meaningful employment, do you think? Would that be one of the outcomes?
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Are there professions, you hear about doctors who may take Wednesdays off, are there professions where it's just a matter of course that people will take a Wednesday off or will work 4 days a week?
You know, there are some professions where people, I'm forgetting the term, I want to say it's like a 1080, where they'll work 4 10-hour days, mm-hmm. and then every 2 weeks take a Friday off. But I don't know of too many professions where it's standard to take a day off. I mean, as a journalist and a freelance writer and consultant, I have the luxury of setting my own schedule, and I can find it's the blessing and the curse because no one tells me to stop working, and I like what I do. So sometimes I'm a prime example of all the things I'm telling people not to do.
I'm sure you might be.
but I do find that I tend to be at my best when I probably end up working 30 to 34 hours a week, but those hours are truly deep focus, intense work.
Right. Let's welcome phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. We're talking about Americans working longer hours than ever before. Our work practices, it's 47 hours a week for most Americans now, and that might be, well, it is, with little doubt here, unhealthy for us, unproductive, and unsustainable. So it's time to change. Maybe look at Wednesdays off. Maybe look at Fridays off. What do you think? Do you feel it? We've got these computers. We've got our phones. We can be connected all the time. Is it just too much and we need another model? 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Along a similar line, Chris sends a message. saying, oh, no, this is Mary who sends a message. When the economy crashed in 2008, it would have been a perfect time to introduce the 32-hour work week. So many people needed jobs. What does it take, I guess, is the question to you, Brad, to make that a possibility or a reality?
I think that it takes more awareness of both the current issue with how many people are burnt out, and then also it's just an entire mindset shift away from the quantity of work to the quality of work, and realizing that oftentimes quality and quantity become disconnected past a certain point. So I would pose the question to listeners and I guess perhaps employers and those that are in charge to think about and really look over the course of a week and ask yourself, like, how many of those hours are truly efficient and effective? And if I could really just focus on nailing the work and getting it done, could I consolidate that work week down from 40 hours to, let's say, 30 to 32 and take the other time for more rejuvenation and rest? But unless there's more awareness of this issue, I don't see it happening. I also think that there's an opportunity for more progressive employers to lead the way on something like this. So I could see a world where Google or Apple pilots this with a large department, and because those companies tend to measure everything, they measure the outcome. And if they can show that it actually resulted in either the same or increased productivity with a happier, healthier staff, that would be worthwhile.
KB is our first caller. Hi, KB.
Good afternoon, folks.
Hi.
Hey, I just want to, you know, your guest had been talking about a four-day work week. I drive a semi for fun during the week, and I am on a four-day work week. I actually take Tuesdays off, and the other days that I'm driving, I'm actually logging between 400 and 600 miles a day, so you can easily get, you know, burnt out if you're doing that every day.
I bet.
Know, straight in a row. And so with having a four-day work week, I take Tuesdays off. I get basically two Fridays and two Mondays, but I can handle that. Mm-hmm. And it's been working out really good. And plus it helps with HR in terms of, you know, keeping my hours, you know, within reason too, you know, not putting me into 60 or 70, 75-hour work weeks, so.
That has to be very hard to work those kinds of hours. You almost absolutely need it if you're putting on that many miles a day, don't you, KB? That's a lot of miles. You can just fall asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, it is. It can be really fatiguing. The drivers that we have in the company are all professionals. They'll do 12, 14-hour days. You know, we can't go over 14, but, you know, sometimes things happen, and, you know, you gotta take care of it, you know, whatever the cost and stuff, without being unsafe. You know,
right.
And that's the focus, is to be safe and to, you know, make sure you get enough sleep, get enough rest.
Sure.
You're eating right, all that other good stuff too. So.
Right. Yeah. Thank you so much for the call. It almost sounds like it should be mandatory for certain professions, Brad.
Yeah, I think an area where this is playing out is in healthcare, where there have been some discussions, particularly around resident hour limitations, and capping the amount of hours residents can work at 80, which in and of itself seems quite high. But there are definitely some industries that have been known for kind of ceaseless work, where there's discussion around is it really the right thing to do, not only for the people doing the work, but for those receiving the services. Certainly, you know, long-haul truck driving is another great example where it can actually become unsafe at some point.
Thank you so much, KB, for your call. Pam in Madison is next. Hi, Pam.
Hi. There's a pretty simple reason that everybody's working 47 hours, and it's because not enough people are in the workforce. For every five people that are working that extra 7 hours a week, that's one more person that should be working.
That's a good point, Brad.
Yeah, so I haven't looked at that particular line of thought, and I'm not an economist, so I can't say whether or not that is in fact what's going on. But I think it comes down to, again, if in fact those 47 hours are all productive hours, then yes, that's absolutely the case. What I would say is I would really look and question, are those 47 hours really productive, or is there a certain point when someone is fatigued, someone begins getting burnt out, that let's say hours 40 to 47, those additional 7 hours, maybe they actually only carry the value of 2 hours because the person that's doing that work, either physically or psychologically, isn't totally there. So I would personally go on to say that while that could be true, my hunch is that the same amount of production could occur with less work if folks just worked a little bit smarter.
Thank you, Pam, unless you had something else. Oh, Pam's gone. Thanks for the call. Nathan in Shawano. Hi.
Hi. I was just going to say that as a scientist, there we're putting in over 60-hour weeks, and there it's we want to. It's the competition we're facing, but also we love the work. Also, there was a time I painted fire trucks for a while, and we would put in 50-hour weeks, and as Pam just said, you know, that you could hire someone else, but at they hire somebody else, and that's extra health care and other fringe benefits that they have to pay. So it's maybe better to get the overtime out of people if they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's all I wanted to add.
Thank you.
I do think that there are some incentives, absolutely, to push people. Your first point about scientists is also really interesting because in addition to the amount of time that folks are working, there's absolutely a motivational question. And someone that is passionate about their work and loves it and it makes them tick and it's what they're thinking about all the time, those folks are much more likely to be able to log longer hours because in an ideal sense, it doesn't even feel like work. But even individuals in that situation can work themselves into the ground simply because both, you know, mind and body just needs a chance to check out.
Thanks, Nathan. And Clarence is next in Watertown. Hi, Clarence.
Good afternoon. Yes, dairy farmer and listening to the program. And, yeah, we 7 days a week. If
Ooh.
You're a smaller herd operator, well, I was listening to what your guest said. If you're motivated, yes, this is our business. If we have to make it go. If it flops, it's usually because there's something we didn't do, something we missed. But, yes, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. And so, you know, I would love a 10-hour day, but usually we wind up in 12 or so, and if you have a animal that has a health problem or a cow that's calving and has problems, 2 o'clock in the morning when it's 12 below, you're out there because
oh,
that is your bottom line.
Right. So you don't get any relief at all? You can't take a break, vacation?
You can take a break, but, you know, self-employed people, whether it's a trucking firm or a pizza parlor or a farm, if you're self-employed, when you take a break, you pay someone else to do the work you should be doing.
Right. Brad?
Yeah, it's definitely a tricky situation. You said that, do you like the work? Does it fulfill you? It makes
well,
you feel
yes,
good?
Well, yes. I was in the United States Army for a while, and I was in the automotive business for a while. And, being self-employed is what drives entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think what you're speaking to is, you know, what I said about the motivation. And while I'm sure that, like you, I mean, you said it yourself, right? It would be nice to be able to work a 10-hour day and to check out a little bit earlier. I think that so long as you love what you're doing, and 70 to 80% of the time you're really thrilled to be there, that goes a long way. I definitely keep tabs on that. And if you find yourself, you know, starting to struggle with motivation or questioning, is this what I really want to be doing with my time? You know, try to get a little bit creative and see if you can't insert just some breaks to rest and recharge.
Mm. Brad, thank you ever so much for being with us.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure as well. Brad Stulberg, he writes about health and the science of human performance. He's a columnist at New York Magazine and Outside Magazine, and he wrote a piece that caught our attention, the United States of Burnout. Current work practices are unproductive, unhealthy, and unsustainable, and this needs to change. Thanks to Scotty Myers for producing the hour, and to Lisa Nalbandian and Scotty Myers for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. News is coming up from National Public Radio, and then we talk about John Quincy Adams.